friends. I'm Val.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this is My Perfect Romance.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
What about all over you?
Or how about my sweet love?
I think we all have a different idea about what romance is.
Well, what is the perfect romance?
Gosh, I don't know, but let's find out.
Oh, how are we feeling today? Good morning.
Great. I'm getting the coffee in my body. I know I should be drinking water. And no. I like have a dream that someday I'll wake up in the morning.
And drink water.
And have a, yeah. And every once in a while I can make myself do it for like a week straight.
Rehydrate yourself with
I
all
I usually have like one cup of water and then go straight to like five cups of coffee.
I mean, you got to prepare yourself for the diuretics you're about to take.
Do you know, I think actually I just need to like, I don't know if you guys have your bathroom cup that, you know, like, okay, after I brush my teeth or whatever, or after I floss, I swish with it or whatever.
The one that gets washed once a month? Yeah.
Yes.
Why is that? You're so right.
I'm
not the only one.
No. And I got these really cute wooden ones. So they're like, because I was like, but they're like also like, they're on display because I want them to be cute because they're in the bathroom.
Right.
But then they're also like really porous and like not as hygienic probably. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, but then I have this like, oh, well, it's just water. You know, it's just water I'm drinking from it. And then I take my hand soap from the bathroom sink. And that's what I wash.
I do too. Is I take my the hand wash and just do it.
And you do a finger thing.
Yeah. I'm nasty. But you know what's crazy?
I guess we all are.
I feel like we need to challenge our immune systems a little bit.
You're right. It's just water.
It's just water. Yeah. I know. And like, who else is going to actually drink from it? My husband. I mean, he kisses this shit.
Right. You are swapping all sorts of bacteria. You know, okay, fun fact.
Okay.
Our mouths, like a human bite to break the skin with how much bacteria is in there, like you can cause some major infection.
Are you telling us like we're kimono dragons?
Almost just as bad as a kimono dragon.
I mean, my breath in the morning sometimes is pretty kimono dragon-y.
I know.
Anyway.
We are nasty things.
It's almost like, you know, like I need a stunt double if I'm going to kiss him.
Right? Speaking of stunt double. Wow, that was such a great segue.
Did you like it? It was so natural.
Okay, so we are talking about, what are we talking about today?
We're talking about the movie The Fall Guy, which, okay, was that not like the cutest show ever?
I loved it.
So good.
Yeah.
I think it's a movie that everybody probably would love.
Oh, yeah. I watched it with Brad last summer, and it was on a Friday, and I was exhausted. And so this is not to say it's not a good movie, but I fell asleep the first time. And you could have had me on a roller coaster. I probably would have fallen asleep. I was so tired. But he'd watched it. Then he watched it again with me this time.
Aww.
And he's like, I forgot how much I loved that movie.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Like, it was such a good movie. So,
you know, it's like the
romance movie that a guy loves.
Yeah.
Win-win-win.
And it has lots of action in it.
It felt like almost like an action movie.
It did.
And you could get swept away in that and miss the storyline. So I love, we're going to dive into
the
storyline.
Because there's a lot of depth in this. Yeah. It's a great movie. It was directed by David Leitchett, and he was a former stuntman himself.
I love that.
Which, oh my gosh, this whole movie is focused around stuntmen and stuntmen and everything. So the culture in it is super, super fun.
It's on point.
Yeah,
it's super authentic.
It was written by a larcenist. Well, okay, it was written by Glenn Larson, and you know that makes sense.
We don't know if he's really a Larson.
Yeah, sorry, Glenn. You did write a lot of, there was a lot of fire. There was a lot of fire, Glenn. So I'm just saying maybe this name thing has worked out for you. And Drew Pierce, that's the other writer. I mean, there was.
What was he piercing?
What was he piercing?
The page with words?
That's deep.
Yeah.
Well, and okay, the other.
He went deep. So good job, Greg and Drew.
Well, good rotten. And I just want to say.
Very well done.
You gotta love this
movie. You cannot fall into Southern Dog.
Bless your heart.
Who stars in it?
Okay, this is an awesome movie because it stars some of our crushes. It stars Lisa's boy crush, Ryan Gosling.
Hi, Ryan. I know. And Brad's, like, I mean, we both love you.
Yeah, see, and fine. Brad's fine. Guy, one of Brad's guy friends, so it works, yeah.
I mean, who doesn't absolutely love Ryan Gosling?
Heartless individuals with no souls. Yes. That's yes, yes.
Probably, and yeah, I don't probably, know you.
Yeah, and you know what? You're not listening to this podcast, yeah. So.
And same thing with Emily Blunt. Everyone loves her, too.
I know, she's my girlfriend. I think
it's the one perfect combination.
Yeah. Yes. I totally do.
The best.
Absolutely,
love them. So, so on, you know, besides how cool the writers, the producers, the directors were, fun fact.
What's the fun fact?
I have a dream of making a Guinness World Record, but they did it.
No
in
way.
This movie. They have the world record for the most cannon rolls in a car, 8.5 rolls. And I mean, I can remember like even at the closing credits, they like re-showed, and I'm pretty sure that was the one in the closing credits. I'm like, holy crap. I didn't know a car could roll so much. Like, how did they pull that off?
The physics on it just is insane. Well, and he just, like, so many cute little things, like how the sand has to be perfect and this and that. I mean, you don't think about everything that goes into it.
I mean, even the closing credits were amazing. All the little outtakes, everything.
Well, so I mean, and, you know, let's just mention the four different stunt doubles who handled various specialities for Ryan Gosling. I mean, and I love it. Like, I think, Lisa, you said, what did Ryan mentions?
An interview with Ryan about this movie, like, a long time ago, probably when he was promoting it. And he was talking about why he was so excited about this film was because they finally got to celebrate the people that made him look good. And the fact that these stunt doubles, there's no, like, Academy Award. There's no, like, recognition. The only thing they get is their name in the closing credits.
And it's usually, like, at the very end.
Yes.
Or, you know,
at the end of the closing credits.
Yeah, like.
And when I was watching the credits, and I watched them because they were so entertaining.
They were.
But, like, the list of stunt doubles went for, I was like, I mean, it was must have been, like, a 4-to-1 ratio.
So we decided to recognize them as well.
Yes. Who were Ryan's?
Logan Holliday. He was the driving double.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ben Jenkin. He was the parkour.
Okay. Isn't that like the coolest thing?
When he like climbs up everything.
Yeah.
When he's going up to the top of the boat.
Yeah.
He just gets out of his car and he just climbs up the rail.
So we're planning the Scotland trip, and one of the things we're doing is we're going to go and climb the mast of the ship that went to Antarctica. It's in Dundee.
Oh, super
so
cool.
So we're going to, they strap you on, and you learn about the history of the ship as you climb up the mast.
Oh, cool.
And then you zip line, and then you zip line down.
Are you going to practice some parkour before you
I think I'm going to try. Actually, I'm kind of afraid of heights, so my hands are going to be sweating, and I'm going to be like, oh, this is great.
Get some grip gloves. Wear some, like, those super grip gloves.
Yeah, the super grip gloves.
Yeah, and then you'll look like a stunt double.
I know. I'm going to be like, I'm a badass.
Well, and Justin Eaton, it was the fight double. Troy Brown, high fall double.
Yeah.
I did not realize that there is a specific niche.
Well,
for
I can't imagine being able to do all those things. Have you ever tried to parkour before? Like, I got injured just like, trying to like do a little side jump off a tiny
wall. Well, I remember the boys in fifth and sixth grade. They're like, we're doing parkour, and they like jump off things. And try and do weird stuff.
I'm naturally ungraceful. So like, I just tell everyone, no, I'm parkouring. I mean, like, I was bouncing off that. I wasn't stumbling. I know how to step off curbs.
So I would imagine that these stunt doubles have, like, specialized, and they have, like, worked on these things, like, to the level of an elite athlete.
Well, and
they are incredible.
I watched this one show about this stunt double, and she was a female.
Well, they are elite athletes, by the way.
Yeah, they
are
definitely
incredible athletics.
But she was a fall. She did the falls from the buildings and stuff, and she was talking about how you have to be super careful. Like, just you have to get the angle exactly right because they don't want you to, like, you're diving into the water. So she's like, it's gonna hurt. You have to end up, but like, she was talking about the angle of your face when you're taking a high impact on your face and how you have to do it so you don't rupture your eardrum.
Exactly.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, she's like, you have to land it. And then also so you don't paralyze yourself. So you have to
hit the water from up high. You can break your bones.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so she was talking through about that. And then how a lot of the time, you know, they'll go through it. And there's like, you have to, the physics is intense and they have to double check everything because they want to get the most, the greatest fall height that you can get without actually damaging. It is so intense. I mean, people don't get it. Like it's yeah, super intense. And
so Academy Awards, could you create a new category, please?
I mean, I like that. I think they said too, like, which is understandable, is that they don't want, the reason they say they don't have a category for that is they don't want things to get too extreme to outdo.
For safety reasons.
For safety reasons. I can understand that because people were like, okay, I'll risk that, you know.
Now I need to outdo this
person. We want an Academy Award. And so we just need to, you know, make this stunt just a little bit crazier than
And it's not like they couldn't plan it because these people, like, I think one of the things I love about this film is you understand how brilliant these people are. Not only are they insanely gifted athletes, but they also, like, their physics, because their life depends upon the physics.
Yeah, there's like little chatter going on about, like, oh, this is how we're going to set up this. And, like, just the thought. Yes. Planning that goes into every little detail.
And they
I love that they showcase that throughout the film too.
Yeah.
It was really well done.
Super well done. So I like, okay, so the characters in this are super well developed here.
Let's talk about Ryan.
Or Colts. Okay. Colts. Or Colts. Yeah, Colts. Yes. But it's Ryan. It's my personal, hey, baby Ryan.
Yes. And your four stunt doubles.
Yes. Yes.
Logan, Ben.
So
Troy.
We start the show off and
we can't ignore
Colt is a seasoned stuntman. He's kind of like the best of the best for Hollywood's top dude, you know, and he's his number one
like
stuntman.
He's like the Tom Cruise.
Yeah, right? He's the Tom Cruise, but Tom Cruise does his own stunts. Almost all of his own stunts. He tries to.
Interesting.
He's got to have a couple. I mean, because he can't do all this other stuff.
No.
But he probably does a lot. But
he does a lot of his own stunts. Yeah. Well, and I love how this whole show is like, do you do your own stunts?
Right. That's the theme.
Because you can't. You can't be these athletes and this incredible. So, Colt Seavers is a stuntman, and he has basically, he got injured in a big stunt, being for the big hoo-ha guy. And he kind of was out of the scene for about a year, just kind of, he healed up, he recovered
from the fall, but emotionally.
Emotionally, he's kind of,
He's taken a big fall because this is his identity.
Yes.
And when you lose your identity, that's like,
he was like
hard
at the
to
top.
Get through.
He was, he was feeling the best he's ever felt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, physically, he's in this romance with Jodi.
Oh yeah,
I mean,
they're so cute.
He feels like he's got it all. He's on top of the world.
And him and Jodi are like right before he has his accident. Which the other thing is that he doesn't know how this accident actually happened. So he doesn't understand like what went wrong. Like it should have worked out. He did everything right. Yeah. It was all squared away. And so he was at the top of his game going into this scene. And him and Jodi were talking about like starting a forever life together. Mm-hmm. Essentially,
spicy margaritas on the beach.
Yeah, exactly. Making bad decisions.
Making bad decisions. Yeah.
And
the
so
things we want.
Yeah. And because they were both like, she was just at the beginning of her career taking off. He was at the pinnacle of his career and they were there. But then he has this accident and he shuts down and withdraws.
He ghosts.
He ghosts. Everyone.
Like, no one can find him.
Exactly. And
but then someone does.
Someone does find him.
Someone
so Jodi finally gets her big break and she gets her big break. And so he is found by.
So he wants to help her save her directorial
debut.
Mm-hmm. But he's brought in to find Tom Ryder.
Who is the guy who he's always the number one stunt double for.
Yes.
And so he's supposed to find him because Tom apparently goes on benders and goes missing. Mm-hmm. And
now Jodi can't finish her movie because her movie star is gone and no one can find him.
And no one knows why he's gone.
Yeah. Yes.
And they can't let the studio know to look for him because they're over budget and the movie could get shut down if anything gets out that things aren't going perfect.
Yeah. Gail Meyer is the producer of this whole thing, this movie. And she is the one who calls Colt and says, you need to come back. To do this.
And she thinks if anyone can find Tom, it's Colt because they were so close.
Yes.
And she lies to him. She tells Colt that he was requested by Jody.
Yeah.
And that's the only reason he decides to do this.
Yeah. That is the only reason.
The only thing that pulls
him. I have an opportunity to redeem myself with the woman that I love.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah.
Yes. So that's what he's wanting to do. But what gets in the way? I mean, we'll get into that. Jody, let's talk about her because she's the other half of the puzzle.
Yeah,
right?
She's so cute.
So she...
This is my girlfriend.
I know. But she is under a ton of pressure as the director. And this is her, you know, like we said, her first time. So she really got to prove herself.
Yes.
Like if you mess that up, do you get a second chance?
No, especially with this big... This is a huge budget.
It's a big budget film.
Yeah.
And like this is something she's worked on towards her whole life. So it's a big deal for her. And so, yes, Metal Storm, just FYI. So cool.
Just listen to the rhythm of my heart.
Yeah. So she's trying to get all this done despite missing this lead actor. She's like, maybe we can pull it off. AI the face on all the stunt doubles and... You know, like we're going to make this happen because we don't have any other choice. But along comes and they have all these unresolved feelings because he literally like she wanted to be there for him and he just
couldn't accept her comfort.
He wouldn't accept her comfort. And so now he shows up. She's got all these unresolved feelings and she's got to maintain her professional authority on one of probably the most chaotic sets known to mankind. Like it looked like utter chaos.
I love this scene.
Like every single, like she was just trying to answer one question and then she would get interrupted and then interrupted. And it was like, oh, like I don't know how.
She handled it very well.
She did. She did.
And she's like a very nice,
she was on point.
Person. I think people like her, you know, like working for her because she's not a jerk.
So she's dealing with a like ballooning budget, right? Mm-hmm. It's like just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And then she's got Gail, who's kind of like, I felt icky about Gail from the get-go.
Yeah, she was fake.
Yeah, she felt, I mean, she did. I was like, something's up with her. Yeah. I don't like her.
And Gail's the one who lied to...
But as the producer.
Yes, she's the producer.
Like, the director's kind of, like, sandwiched in the middle.
Yes.
Like, the producer really, you know, they can...
Talks to the studio. And the director talks to the actors.
Yeah, like we said, you know, she lures Colt back.
Yeah.
Yep, with
and,
lies.
You know, this... He thinks that Jody asked for him, but he realizes... She didn't.
Pretty damn quick.
And then there is like a conflict there because, you know, he was excited. He's like,
absolutely. Oh. He's like, I'm going to have my opportunity to redeem
myself.
This
might be one of my favorite scenes. And Jody doesn't know he's there yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, he's getting pulled in to do like a fire stunt.
Yeah. Oh, yes. No, she just after the car roll and then she's.
So, but like the initial time she realizes he's on set and she's like shocked and she's like, what?
Yeah.
And so he's getting burned over and over.
Yeah. One of my favorite scenes.
And she's like, even though you know that scene was filmed great, she's like, burn him again.
Do it again.
And he gets thrown up against a rock.
I mean, but she's just acting out why.
Like she was hurt.
She was so hurt because Colt disappeared and wouldn't allow her to help him. Mm-hmm. And she wanted to help him through that hard time and he wouldn't allow her. And so she's like really hurt and mad. Absolutely. And this is how she's taking it out on him.
Oh, and I love how she like asks him to like come up with the dialogue. She's like, okay, so here's this scene.
So what would they do in this scenario then?
How would they feel? Why would they do that? And so everybody who's watching this
I'm pretty sure they would take this privately.
She's like, no, she's a very public person.
Very public. And she's been on, oh my gosh.
Oh, the sushi roll bed with so many men. And it was really good sushi.
The best.
And Colt is just, he's like, okay, I deserve this. I'm going to just keep keep getting burned.
And he thrown keeps against giving rock. His two thumbs up yes. every time. He's like, I got it. Which is like stunt doubles speak for like, okay. I got this. I'm okay. Yeah.
And I love how he talks about stunt doubles are thumbs up, guys. He's like, a stunt double can't be a thumbs down guy. You can't say, no, that really hurt. It felt like crap. I don't want to do it again. I want to go home. Leave me alone.
Yeah, and he's so positive. He's like, okay, let's do it again. Yep. And then he sits there and listens to her like go through her like little scenario every time. And then every time, like, all the actors around her are so tired. They're like, oh my gosh, we've got to do it again. And like, so they all are sitting there listening to her go through her, like, a little talk, her little speech.
It's such a well done
scene. Oh, it's so
cute. I loved that. But even at the same time, when it's cute and funny and action packed, like, there's so much symbolism.
Oh, there is.
I feel like this is the beginning of us really realizing how much he loves her.
Yes.
He loves her so much.
But then you realize, I'm doing it again. He sits in his car at the end of the day and he is just sulking and he's listening to my favorite, All Too Well.
Taylor's like,
I mean, this is a 10-minute long song of just like, and he's utter crying. Devastation
and we see all
the love
the,
of your life.
Yes.
Because he's reviewing all the great thing times that they had had together. Mm-hmm. And he's feeling
and he's
like,
realizing she didn't want him there.
Like, yeah. And he's feeling and he's like there's where, like I guess this is not gonna happen for us.
Right.
Yeah.
We're over.
Yes, and then she walks up and she's like, are you listening to Taylor?
And crying.
And are you crying?
And are you crying? And
he's like, no. Just jet lag tears.
He's got to be two thumbs up. You know?
Like, always two thumbs up.
And then she drives him 10 feet or her 10 feet to her car.
They kind of talk. And I mean, they're kind of resolve some things. And
just a little bit.
He's like, well.
He's not totally vulnerable.
She's like, can you drive me to my car? And he's like, yeah. Across the parking lot.
That was so cute.
And then he resumes.
Well, and then plot twist because then he has to start his secondary mission of trying to find out where her main star is. Because that's why he was actually brought in. And so he learns when he discovers from Gail that he wasn't called in as a personal favor to for the director. He was called in to find
Colt.
So then he has to take off and he goes on this adventure.
And he wants to do this because he's like, now if I don't find, it's not Colt, it's Tom.
If I don't
find Tom Ryder, like the love of my life is going to fail.
Yeah.
Her dreams.
Yes. And Gail like puts it. Because he's tired after being burned like 20 times.
He's been burned a lot.
He's so tired. And he'd just taken a flight from LA to Australia.
Which is a huge flight.
He's exhausted. And he's like, I just want to go lay down.
And he rolled the car 8.5 times before he got burned.
Gail says, no, you need to find Tom. And then she kind of does the whole thing. If you don't find Tom, Gail's movie is going to
we're shutting it down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So she gives,
and Gail truly has the power to do that.
Yeah.
So she can be as manipulative as she wants.
Yeah. She is.
So Colt is put in this position where he once again rises to the occasion with all the energy that he can. I mean, amazing. And so it's all because he loves Jody and wants to prove.
See again.
Yeah.
Again and again and again.
I thought, you know, that was, don't we all want a man to love us like that?
But I think it's also like, we all want a man to love us like that, but we also want a man who will be vulnerable with us. And he wasn't there.
He wasn't there.
Until the movie happens. So
as he's looking for Tom Ryder, it becomes really apparent that he is now getting framed. The reason that Tom went missing to begin with is because they're trying to frame him. It was for murdering one of his stunt doubles.
Yeah.
Because Tom is kind of
he's an icky narcissist.
He's definitely beyond narcissistic because he has zero remorse and he is very vengeful. Like, you can't outshine me
in any way, even by doing your job.
Yes, by making me look good, you made yourself look too good.
Yeah.
And I can't have
that. You could actually, just gross. Like, I couldn't do these. I can't do these stunts by myself. So because you can do the stunt to make me look good, yeah, that means you must think that you're better than me.
And how dare you
ask? How dare you?
If I can do my own stunts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, don't put me.
Or when I'm making fun of you, and when I'm intentionally making fun of you and belittling you. And then
you just have to take it.
You just have to take it. And if you stand up for yourself, or if I think in any way that you are not humbled to me, mm-hmm, and living in my fantasy,
yeah,
then I will.
So he realizes that pretty quickly. And now, like, he has to survive.
Yes, he's a wanted man.
He becomes a wanted man because, you know, Gail, who is super manipulative, like,
absolutely, it's working. Yeah.
And so now he's trying to save Jody. But he's trying to save himself.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which, like, can you imagine being in this position? So there's this huge, like, fire, like, whatever. And you, it's all over the news. Jody sees it. And he's a wanted man. And yeah, then Jody gets a phone call,
mm-hmm,
from Gail, who had told her, yeah, I'm going to see if he can find him. Because, you know, he's his best man, you know. So Jody's aware, like, oh, he's on a mission. And so she, when she hears that, like, he died trying to help find him.
Well, and he was on the phone with Jody
when all of that went down. So Jody, she in her mind, she thinks when Gail calls her and says, he's gone.
Yes.
He's died. Like, she's, mm-hmm, devastated.
Because she heard him. She could tell. She was talking to him on the phone. So he's in this terrible situation, yeah, and he thinks he might truly die.
And so he's starting
to. So he calls her and he.
Like, he's doing the thing we do before we're about to die. He's, yeah, like, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, and I'm going to open up to you.
So Jody's like, the love of my life is gone, and my hopes and dreams are also gone at the same time. So she's dealing with this massive devastation.
Absolutely.
When all of a sudden, someone sneaks into her trailer.
I loved this
because I was like, holy shit, Emily Blunt.
Well, she's a badass. Hello, Lived I Repeat.
Oh, I never saw it.
That's one of my favorite movies.
Wow. And I was like, there's no way that someone is doing this fight
That's
scene.
That's why I'm in love with Emily Blunt.
I'm in love with her for so many reasons, but, and she can sing, and she can like look like she does. And
she's funny.
She's charming. She's married to John Krasinski, mm-hmm, who I just, he was my favorite character.
Absolutely.
From The Office.
Oh my
and
gosh.
And he's just adorable.
They're so cute.
So they're adorable.
Yeah.
Anyway, but like.
Oh, there's a cute story. Sorry, I have to interrupt there.
Okay.
Because you said that. So there's this cute thing where there was an interview with him, uh-huh, and he was like, he was traveling and stuff, and it was something for like his career or whatever. And he was just like, yeah, I'm going to this thing and stuff like that because I've got this going on. And then this guy is basically, he's like, I'm doing this thing. And the guy's like, oh, okay, whatever. But then the guy finds out that he's married to Emily Blunt. And he's like, you don't deserve her. Kind of in a sense. Like, he's like,
oh my gosh.
Nobody deserves Emily. He's like, you know, and so
she's
he's
a
just
goddess.
Like, and he was, right, talking about, he's like, yeah, I'm just the office dude who's married to the goddess.
Right. I mean, we love you too, John. But
yeah, exactly.
You really did good.
I know, but he's so stinking.
But I love that. This scene is just so freaking amazing. She's not only a badass, but, like, mm-hmm, she damn near kills him.
Oh, absolutely.
And she stabs him in the thigh with a pen.
After he's been through, like, all of this torture
and
already.
And no sleep. I'm pretty sure he's running on pure, like,
and he's not really fighting back because he doesn't want to hurt her.
He's like, thumbs up.
To give his thumbs up. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he has an alien suit on that changes his voice.
And he had to because he's dead and he's wanted. And how else can he get through that chaotic set unrecognized?
Yeah.
So, yes, I mean, it all makes sense. But the thumbs up. And then she's like, oh, my God. And he explains to her everything that's been going on. And part of that explanation, I don't want to get into, like, all of it, but he tells her, like, Gail is really manipulative.
And
she is a bad dude.
She's behind all this.
Yeah. And so she then has to decide, like, Gail, who's been her champion, who's been fighting for her.
Yes. And her mentor.
And her mentor. And this man that I was deeply in love with, who just shows up out of nowhere and goes
abandoned
to me.
And
abandoned me at like a time I needed him the most. Like, who can I trust?
Yeah.
Like, who can I believe?
Yeah.
So like,
what would you do?
Yeah.
If your partner disappears for a year after a tragedy, leaving you to pick up the pieces alone.
Mm. Yeah.
Then they break into your home while they're on the run from the law and tell you that they only left because they were felt broken.
Yeah.
Would you turn them in for betrayal or pick up a camera and help them pull off the last stunt to save their life?
Yeah.
I know. Mm. Yeah. What would you do?
What would you do?
So like, what would you guys do?
Well, obviously this man loves you more than anything else.
But she doesn't know that.
No, but
there's
she kind
of might be starting to.
Yes.
I think it comes down to, I feel like they had conversations. I mean, as weird as they were in the settings, like of him getting set on fire and thrown against a rock and then him thinking he's going to die. They still did have a lot of the healing conversation that you would need to have. Like they got through the acknowledgement, the feelings expressing. So they did the parts of repair that you need to do to actually heal.
When I was really, really thinking about this hard, I was thinking about just like in my trust.
Yeah.
Is something that I have like really been thinking a lot about lately. Just because there's in my own personal life, my trust had been broken. Like I thought irrevocably, I'm not going to maybe get into details, but like,
I think that's really fair.
After 10 years, I was like, my trust was so broken that I couldn't even trust myself to make good decisions about the people in my life. And,
that's fair.
I was just really, really hurt, you know? And I'm like, how can I stop hurting myself? Mm-hmm. And at the same time, hurting this person.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because when you can't let someone in again, because you've lost trust, like it's not helpful. You can't repair
You have to choose to repair.
I look at trust as like I use the analogy of like, okay, so when you first meet a person.
Yeah.
And you know nothing about them. You're starting out totally blank. It's like building a house together. Like you get to build brick by brick, this foundation, these walls, put up these lights, and it's incredible. But then you realize, gosh, all of a sudden, maybe your house gets burned down and you get to start from scratch. And maybe you decide this isn't really working. Maybe our family's grown and we need to remodel and add another layer.
Yeah.
Or whatever. So like I thought a lot about that. And ironically, I use that analogy because at the time, like I knew these people whose house had burned down. And then another couple who like they had to move out of their house and they had to like live in an apartment for a little while and deal with that. And it in just the time frame. The couple that was remodeling and rebuilding and they had to keep portions of the house intact, but build onto it. And the other couple who got to like burn it down and start from scratch, like they got their house back together
faster
in no time whatsoever. But when you have to remodel, because you have to still work with what you've built together.
Yeah, it's hard.
It took 3 times longer.
Yeah.
It was incredibly expensive for them.
Oh, absolutely.
And it was like, there were times where they broke down and they didn't know if they wanted to finish that remodel. And so I guess my point being like when someone breaks your trust to that level, like it takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
And when you are rebuilding those walls, you really actually have to say, well, what is it about that wall that didn't work
the first time?
And how can we figure out how to build it better this time?
Yeah.
And you can't just do that like in one conversation. Like it just takes a lot.
And I think that a lot of the time people don't realize that, you know, not only do you have to build a new foundation to support the wall that you actually
you
want.
You have to build it stronger because it broke.
Well, and you have to get rid of the old, you know, it's like, oh, well, you know, that old that old foundation that blocks the pipe right. cast, you know, that blocks the, that that's, we need to be having but electrical running is. Through there and all this other stuff. So we have to tear, we have to disassemble that so it doesn't get in the way of the floor plan we really want.
But when you're remodeling, you don't get to like, it doesn't ever really go away. It's always going to be there.
Yes, you have to work through it. You can't get rid of it.
Yes. And that's what it means to rebuild trust. Mm-hmm. And it is a long, arduous process, and it just takes time. But the one thing, like if you don't do that, this step, if you don't acknowledge how something got broken,
yes,
then that other person can't help you rebuild that wall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so for her to be able to trust him again and mm-hmm. choose to help him.
Yeah.
And let him back in. He had to acknowledge the hurt. Yeah.
He had to specifically acknowledge his actions that caused her to feel the way that she was feeling in the way, you know, and it had to be accurate. So he had to, which means that he had to be curious about it. He had to spend time thinking about it. Mm-hmm. He had to check with her to make sure he understood it.
And he had to be open to the fact that
He heard her.
That he heard her and that maybe he has some work to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you know what? She has to be open to the fact that maybe she has some work to do too.
Yeah.
Whether it be in letting go of resentments and hurt, whether it be this is how I contributed to that wall breaking down. I mean, it takes two people
to really
come together and acknowledge that. But if you don't start with recognizing how you hurt each other, you can never, ever, ever build trust again.
And I don't think she necessarily hurt him so much, but she had to make the decision on you are going to, if you feel like you've been heard, if you mm-hmm. feel like this person has actually stepped up and they have, you know, kind of documented an action plan of change. You, if you're going to really like, you know, you have to agree and truly agree to being open to these things. And that's where your work comes in as the person. You can't say, okay, you're going to heal everything. But if in your heart, you're never going to let it go, then you have to
own that. If you're
going to
keep tearing that same wall down.
Yeah.
And they're trying to rebuild it. It's not going to work. But it just takes time. You almost can't go. You can't use your power tools. You got to get out your hammer and nails.
And sometimes you have to throw them up against a wall and redo that scene 11 times until even though they got the take on the first time, she needed to make sure that lesson had been.
I mean, I loved that they showed the acknowledgement.
Yeah, me too.
They did that in this film. And that's why I was like, this was beautifully done.
Mm-hmm. It was so well done.
I think so too.
They showed mm-hmm. that. Yes.
Yeah. Now, overall, this movie is really unrealistic. Like the fact, like these scenarios aren't going to really happen in real life. But I think that the basis of when someone gets super hurt and the process of what you need to do to heal it.
That was well done.
That was realistic. So realistic.
But the whole, like, this producer is going to help this guy get away with this murder by framing this person. Like, I don't know. That felt a little too Hollywood. It was fun.
It was so fun.
Yeah.
But it didn't get in the way of the message.
It didn't.
I love how they made it so fun. So action film. Mm-hmm. So all of that stuff. But yet then they also carried the important message through, which was really funny too, because they were talking in the show. This mm-hmm. show was about stuntmen, but it was also about directors and movies, because Emily Blunt's character was describing, she's doing this Metal Storm is her movie and it's about these aliens and all this, the fall in the set. But she's like, but that's the fluff around the core of the story. And so I love how there's metacognition in the show where, you know, she's explaining, in these action shows, there's actually a really good point and a life lesson in a lot of them. Yeah. If they're well done,
you're going to take more away. You're going to take more away. Great action.
And so I think it's really funny how she's doing the metacognition for the movie that she's doing in her thing, but there's actually a very real aspect of it in this movie that there's a really good life lesson in here.
Right. So even though you're coming for an action movie, you're going to get so much out of it.
Yeah.
But you might have to pay attention.
Yeah, you would have to pay attention.
Yeah, you do it for sure. So how long do you think that their relationship will last? And we're not giving you guys the details because it's a romance. We know they're going to end up together, but like...
Sorry. No right answer. 25
years. I love you, Courtney. You are the perpetual optimist.
Well, okay, so
I'm going to say the same.
So the markers for, I just like to always review the markers. Like, sure. Why would we say 25 to life?
Yeah.
Do they demonstrate the ability to communicate in a way that is positive?
And respectful.
Respectful. And curious. Mm-hmm. And do they repair the hurt? So initially they didn't.
Yes.
That was the big fallout. But when they had their second chance, you know, did they?
Yeah, they did.
They sure did.
Yeah.
And so that's huge.
Yeah. Super healthy.
And I think that Ryan Gosling's character, Colt, is coming to terms with maybe having some thumbs down.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe finding that there's more to life than being invincible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I love that it is about him finding his vulnerability. It is about him saying, I can still be a thumbs up person and have vulnerable moments.
But I can put my thumbs down too. So I think his character, like he's showing like, I'm growing. With where I broke down this relationship because I knocked down too many walls, that wasn't serving me.
No.
Mm-hmm. And he's recognizing that and he's ready to work on that. So do I think they're going to make,
yes, we got a 25 to life out of Lisa. Okay.
I really had to think about it.
I mean, and I also just want to, I want our crushes to be together.
They are so cute.
How spicy was this movie? It's kind of like it's a jalapeno, I think. I mean, there's some kissing, some making out.
I don't even remember any.
There's making out.
Oh, when she stabs him. You're right.
Yeah, there's some making out.
After she stabs him.
I know, that's funny.
Two thumbs up.
She's like, oh my gosh, I stabbed you. He's like, it's fine. It hasn't been in my leg that long. I'm not going to get like.
And it was kind of cool. You went to that.
I'm not going to get poison from the ink.
And it was so badass of you.
Yes. Yeah, he's like, you did a really good job with that.
Oh my God. Which is such a stuntman thing to say, right?
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God.
So and there were so many great lines in this movie because I really love it because Ryan Gosling's character, especially, like, he has these aha epiphany moments where he just says the most like insightful things. You're like,
it's funny.
It's so funny. Like, you're like, you're getting blown up right now, dude. And you're like, you know.
It's an action comedy romance. It's all of the things you would love in a movie.
So I have to look at my phone to tell you my favorite line.
So I'll tell you mine.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Mine is Jodi is saying this to Colt. She says, you fall down, you get right back up. How far would you go for the one you love?
Aw, why do you like that one?
I mean, I think that sums up the whole movie because he is getting knocked down and he gets right back up again. And he just keeps doing that over and over again. Mm-hmm. And it's all because he loves her. Yeah. I mean, he wouldn't have gone through all of that if he hadn't loved
And do you know
so
what
much.
I love really about this movie too? That what actually needed to happen for the healing in the relationship was for him to say, no, I don't, I can always get back up, but I need to also open up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's he nice. Showed tremendous growth for
he
sure.
Did.
I love the line. You know, honestly, it all hurts. Getting hit by a car hurts. Being thrown out of a window hurts. Getting set on fire really hurts. But none of it ever hurt as much as not being with you.
No, that's a sweet line.
Who doesn't want to hear that?
Yeah. And I mean, I love that it gave a nod to the stuntman.
Yeah.
And he's like acknowledging, they make it look so easy. They
well,
put
and
their
then
thumbs
they,
up.
And they don't. They don't tell you don't that hurts so bad when you're asking for another take.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they keep taking it.
Yeah. So I love he's acknowledging that.
Yeah.
I love that. But I love that he's also acknowledging like the devastation of lost love because that's really freaking painful too.
Emotional pain is worse than, or can be worse than physical pain.
I just had to do my abuse and neglect thing annually. And yeah, that was one of the questions, like, is emotional pain worse than physical pain? It was like, yeah. I mean, that's real. 50% of death is because of loneliness.
That's actually true. Yeah. Well, because, you know, you do know, like, one of the things, like, that's one of the main reasons, like, elderly people stop eating. Mm-hmm. It's because they're just, they're lonely. They're like,
yeah, they're done.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, when you lose so many people.
Life is about connection. Have you ever been in one of those situations where you want to say something and it's so important that you can't mess it up? So you think long and hard about it, and then you realize you've already messed up because you thought too long and too hard about it. And I love this quote because I'm an overthinker. And so I don't want to take action until I think it's perfect. And so I'll like, no, I need to think of, you know, what's the 37th contingent up off my sixth plan? So I know I have a plan for that plan in order to be prepared so I don't screw it up. And then I can anticipate this. And so I think that there's, you know, like some men, they have to have everything perfectly planned before they do that stand because they could die.
Yeah.
If they don't, if the stand gives a little bit because it's a little too wet, you know, their car won't turn out just right. They could die. And so if you look at it, you know, that's another level of like why a stuntman is such a perfect person to be in this position. But it's so true. Yeah, they get it. And so I think sometimes we're like, if you, at some point in life, you have to say, I'm moving forward. I'm going to try. I'm going to do this thing now. Mm-hmm. It's time to let the scene roll. And I feel like I have this problem with a lot of things, you know, like I don't want to put it out there until it's ready to be put out. Even in our podcast, like amongst the three of us and things, I'm like, I don't want to listen to us because I'm like, oh my gosh, I wasn't perfect there. It sounded like this or something happened. And so I just love that.
Overthink about what you're going to say.
Yeah. And you worry too much. And then you're like, well, what if my insecurities made it so we never actually had this podcast?
I also think that along those lines, like we do worry so much about saying something that could hurt someone or saying it the wrong way that we sometimes just avoid those hard conversations altogether.
We do.
And then it's not like a year later, you can't go back and be like, oh, you remember that time?
Yeah, you can't. But the resentment and if you don't ever bring it up, then you can't heal. And so here's the thing.
So then you've got a year of hurt.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't have a hard conversation.
Because if you don't have the conversations, you can't start the healing process. And so I guess here's the thing, like, if there's a place where you need to step up and take a try, it's better to step up and take a try. And then, okay, well, if I don't get it right, then I just have to fix it or I have to heal my mistake of how I tried to fix it.
Yeah.
So like do some planning, do some prep.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I think so too.
Overall, what do you guys think?
Does this
matter? Does it, was it engaging?
Obviously, yes.
I mean, there wasn't enough fire.
Can we say any more good things about it? I don't think so.
Could we call this my perfect romance?
I think this has everything.
Yeah, it does.
Like we said, we could watch it with our husband, our boys, like your girlfriend.
Yeah, there's no one that I wouldn't watch this with and not come away feeling great. Yeah.
And everyone can take whatever they want from it. Like if you're having a day where you're like, I just want to take the action scenes. I want to take the funny lines. I want to take this.
I don't want to think deep about like the deep.
Yeah.
You can just enjoy it. Yeah. It's great.
But it's great.
We like to go deep.
Okay. Well, I mean, so I guess that concludes our our review of the Fall Guy, which we loved. So, I mean, if you'd like to reach out to us, to tell us about your book, request a book or movie review to ask us what would you do or tell us your real life love story, go to our website, www.myperfectromance.com. You'll find links to all of our socials there. And of course, you'll find that in our show notes too.
Yeah, we put it all out there.
Miss Lisa, what's coming up?
Oh my gosh, let me tell you. I'm so excited. We're going to, you know, we're going to answer what would you do? Because we like to do that monthly.
We do, monthly. We do.
And if you want to read ahead, we're going to discuss a real life romance. Well, actually, it's nonfiction, a book about relationships. And actually, you know, there it's going to have a lot of good things. Because like sometimes when you're in a relationship with someone, it is a one-sided repair. Maybe a little bit like in this, like he had to do the one-sided work to get that relationship
back repaired. On track.
So this book is called How to Save Your Marriage in 3 Simple Steps by Lee Balcom. And I'm really excited about this book. And
yes.
So I'm excited to talk about it and tell you guys all about it. So read up, everybody, or at least hit follow so you don't miss us talking about it.
And until then, keep believing in the perfect version of your own romance. I'm Valerie.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this has been our My Perfect Romance.
Happy romancing, everybody.
XOXO.